time for the Dictionary of Sydney. Now, it's a bit of a treat today, because rather than Lisa and Nicole coming in, we actually have Dr. Peter Hobbins. Now, he's a historian of science, technology and medicine. He's one of the authors of a brand new book called Stories from the Sandstone, Quarantine Inscriptions from Australia's Immigrant Past. And apparently, if you're a long-term 2SER listener, you might even recognise his voice from the mid-90s on a science show. Is that right, Peter?
That's right, Nick. I used to be one of the presenters on a show called Discovery, which was a group of basically science nerds who tried to make science and medicine interesting. And we ran that for, yeah, quite a few years in the mid-90s.
Yeah. Well, I think you were probably the inspiration for our Think programs that we have these days, Think Health and Think Digital Futures, making medicine and science exciting for everyone again.
I don't know we take the credit, but thanks for the plug.
No, it's all yours. Take it. Look, let's talk Quarantine Island, because I think it's a fascinating piece of Australia's history. But these days, I think people know it more as like a ghost hunting area than a historical kind of landmark.
Yeah, look, so North Head became a quarantine station in 1835 and it operated that way until 1984. So it actually has an enormously long history.
84? I didn't realize it was that recent.
Yeah. But the thing is really, it was active up until the 1930s and then the number of quarantines dropped off enormously. So often people assume that everybody who came to Australia on a ship was quarantined, and that's not the case. And it wasn't like an immigration processing centre either. It wasn't
Ellis Island.
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't like Ellis Island in New York City where immigrants came and were denied entry or allowed into the country. Rather, it was a place where if there was an infection on board your ship or much later on board your aircraft, anybody who was sick and anybody who'd been in their vicinity would be brought into North Head, which is just past Manly, and put into quarantine either for treatment or for observation until they were all declared healthy and released into Sydney.
I imagine that wasn't infrequent, though. I mean, diseases ran rife when you're on a ship for so long with so many people packed in.
Yeah, and you get real peaks of quarantine activity. There was a big burst in the 1830s when we had a lot of immigrants coming to the colony of New South Wales. Dropped off in the 1840s when the immigrants did, and also the convicts. 1850s with the gold rush, boom, you get another hit, another big group in the 1870s. And then we have some different types of quarantines in 1881 and in 1900, where we start seeing residents of Sydney actually being forcibly taken out to North Head because of an epidemic in the city. So suddenly it's no longer people coming in, it's actually the locals who are being sent out there as well. So in the end, we think there were roughly 16,000 people quarantined at North Head in those 150 years.
And I imagine that quite a few people died out there as well, let's be honest. I mean, you know, medical technology was not, you know, Stone Age back then, but there was only so much you could do for some of these diseases.
There was a pretty appalling death rate. If you died at sea on the way here, often you were, you know, hoisted over the edge and, you know, plonked into the depths.
Yes.
But there's about 600 burials out at North Head. And I say about because we're never entirely sure. The records are quite patchy for the 19th century, but there are three distinct cemeteries. One of them, we don't quite know where it is. We've got a reasonable idea, but it was covered up a long time ago in the 1850s.
Wow.
And the other two are were so neglected that, in fact, it's actually hard to find any headstones left there. So it's, but yes, in total, about 600 people died. So it is certainly a place of tragedy. Harder to say it was a place of mourning because it was actually, being a quarantine station, it was hard to get to. So if somebody you knew had died there, you actually had to ask permission to go and visit the cemeteries.
At your own peril as well, I imagine.
Well, yeah, in some cases, yeah.
Mm. Now, Quarantine Island's been a bit of a project of yours for a number of years now, hasn't it?
Yeah, look, there was a group of us. So I'm a historian, but I'm also, you know, I get picked on by my archaeology colleagues because they call me Schliemann, who is a sort of notorious early archaeologist who didn't have professional standards. So I sometimes am accused of being a bit of a Schliemann character because I'm an enthusiastic amateur archaeologist, but really I'm a historian. I worked at the quarantine station with two great archaeology colleagues, Ursula Frederick and Annie Clark. They're both co-authors on the book. And so we spent 3 years out there looking for carvings left in the rocks by people who were detained in quarantine. Now, sometimes it was a set of initials, sometimes it was a picture, but often it was quite a detailed panel. So like a frame that they carved and then put in some words about the ship and the date and people who are on board. we ended up documenting about 1,600 of these carvings over that 150-year span. And the book that we've written is just telling a few of the stories that we researched from that incredible assemblage of carvings.
And from incredible sort of first person, like, you know, I mean, that's genuine historical source right there.
It is. You know, one of the lovely things that we, you know, we enjoyed about it is that, you know, as a historian, my job is normally going and visiting archives, you know, places that collect old records, letters, diaries, official correspondence, that sort of thing. And it's usually bundled up in neat packages and boxes and put on a shelf somewhere. The thing about North Head is that it's the archive is in situ. These carvings are exactly where they were when they were created in, you know, 1857 or in 1919 during the Spanish flu pandemic, or in 1930, for instance, when, you know, people were still being quarantined for smallpox. So it's an archive in place. You can actually stand where the person who created this carving was and imagine what it was like to have been there living through their times.
That is actually incredible and just amazing, because so much of it must have got lost as well. I mean, you're only looking at the ones that have survived. I'm sure stuff was knocked out, walls were taken away.
There's a pretty high attrition rate out there, and there's a number of reasons for that. One is that North Head is on the coast, so you get lots of salt-laden air that comes in, and it's easy to carve in sandstone, but sandstone is also soft, and it falls apart. It actually crumbles away. So a lot of the carvings have eroded, they've lost detail, or they've vanished. The other thing is it's been a national park since 1984, and so it's actually been allowed to revegetate a lot. So there's an enormous amount of regrowth that covers up a lot of the carvings too. And yes, as you mentioned, building works, you know, it was an active quarantine station. So building works, chiseling away cliff faces or putting up a new accommodation block would often obliterate some of the carvings that were there. So we know of 1,600. There could be several hundred more that are still out there waiting to be discovered.
And isn't that the horror of history, that as you're writing it, you don't know whether you're going to end up being one of the documents or not?
I know. Look, it was tempting to add our own traces, but that wouldn't be appropriate to do. So we're considering our book as our permanent record instead of our stories from the sandstone.
Well, Peter, the book is absolutely amazing. It's called Stories from the Sandstone, Quarantine Inscriptions from Australia's Immigrant Past. It is out now, isn't it? I know I got an advanced copy.
Yesterday we made the launch, actually. Yeah.
Fantastic. Go and get yourself a copy of it if you're listening. And the other thing is, next time you're out at quarantine station, don't think of it as ghost hunting. Think of it as an actual living history that we can go and experience from an incredibly long period of Sydney's past. Peter, thank you so very much for coming in.
Absolute pleasure.